Welcome to the first episode of The Modern Z. Since this is the first podcast of our channel, we're going to be introducing ourselves and why we started Modern Z. And from there on, we'll be sharing some of our experiences and what we've learned from them and how they have helped bring about a meaningful change in our lives. So sit back and we hope you enjoy it. They say that our world has developed more in the past 25 years than it has in the past 200. Take a moment to think about that. We as humans have come a long way. From globalization to nationalism, from technology to artificial intelligence, and now from climate change to a viral pandemic. There is a reason why humans have come out on top when it comes to survival of the fittest. First, we evolved from apes, and now we're evolving from each other. Back in the 1950s, people used to spend most of their time working or fighting for some rights or procreating. Post-World War II, the world experienced a surge in global birth rates as soldiers were now able to return home and, well, procreate. The group of individuals who were born during this period are therefore known as baby boomers. Think of these as your grandparents. Since technology was not prominent during that time, baby boomers are known to value relationships. These are people who grew up using rotary dial telephones, writing letters, and enforcing strong interpersonal skills. No wonder our grandparents love us so much, because they didn't have a smartphone running their lives. Soon after the boomers came Generation X, which some of us may associate our parents with. This generation was known to be independent, career-focused, and to have a strong desire for good work-life balance. They were introduced to technology later in their lives and thus had limited exposure. During the late 1980s and 90s, it was the millennials or Gen Y who were taking over the workplace. For some of us, these may be an older sibling or some next-door success figure who our moms couldn't stop talking about. These tech-savvy individuals would pride themselves on working on innovative ideas and startups, making the most out of technology. This aspirational competitiveness would later have severe consequences in the form of increasing rates of anxiety and depression. Their commitment to technology would affect their interpersonal skills, which explains why they used online dating as compared to the boomers who had to physically go out and seek the right partner. So that brings us to the last and most recent generation, born after 1997. Generation Z. This might be most of you listening right now. Gen Z is the first generation to have grown up with modern technology. Millennials and some Gen X people associate us with being privileged, entitled, narcissistic, pretentious, and so on. Why? Because they see us as individuals who were handed down everything. They see us spending our time on social media websites. You know, that realm of artificial reality where we ride the hedonism train in search of some short-term gratification as an excuse to validate our existence. But regardless of whether or not that's true, if this is all that we're perceived as, then we have a problem. The Modern Z was created with the hope of reclaiming our status in the view of our predecessors, but also to find unity through diversity. Here, we hope to bring forward ideas and values and thoughts and stories by someone from one end of the world to reach and inspire someone on the other end of the world. We will provide content that Gen Z people can relate to, resonate with, and use to bring about a meaningful change in their lives. But enough of that. Let's start with a brief introduction of our speakers today. Right, so a little bit about myself. My name is Akash, and I'm a marketing and management bachelor's student at the Australian National University here in Canberra. I consider myself as a highly extroverted individual, mainly because I enjoy meeting new people, traveling to new places, and learning new skills. Part of why I started the Modern Z blog was my innate desire for perpetual growth and never-ending development as a whole. But we'll get into that a little later. Just, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey guys, I'm Bhuvan. I'm a photographer / computer science major in Australian National University as a second year student. Um, I unlike Akash, I'm quite introverted, as you can tell from my major. And I joined this project mainly to create and document a journey. So to moving on to our first question, where did the inspiration for Modern Sea come from?
Well, to be honest, having my own blog is something I've been thinking about for a few years now. Like, as I mentioned earlier, I believe in perpetual growth, which is why I look for new approaches to self-development. That being said, my inquisitiveness for knowing about these different generations really came about a few years ago when I was working on a presentation. I remember the topic being how organizations can effectively manage different generations in the workplace. And as I spent time researching about, the boomers, the millennials and Gen Z individuals, that's when I got a closer insight into what was going on. The generalizations and the stereotypes that people associate with Gen Z specifically. And I know that it's not all negative or condescending all the time, since companies these days are looking out for youngsters our age due to the fact that we know how to maneuver technology. But there still exists this stigma surrounding us that, you know, we're privileged and entitled and yada, yada, yada. Like, I won't deny that there is a certain degree of truth to that, but I want to change this overarching perception. I want to make sure that we live in a world where millennials can work effectively with Gen Z and that we collectively work towards a more productive environment.
As you said that you've done research on this topic for a presentation before, what would you say to people who keep ranting about how Gen Z can't handle face-to-face conversations, but at the same time there's a lot of Gen Z working on personal branding and YouTube channels and Instagram accounts and just talking to cameras and a lot of public speaking like TED Talks?
Right. So as I said, I won't deny that there is some degree of truth to these stereotypes. Personally, I've never liked generalizations in any context whatsoever. Something that I've learned over the years, and something that Jordan Peterson said in one of his videos too, is to always approach a conversation assuming that the other person knows something that you don't. That really resonated with me. For example, like, I've been on exchange, I've studied in multiple cross-cultural environments, and met tons of people along the way, each having their own stories. You never know what you can learn from someone if you just, you know, walk up to them and just say hi. Technology has given us so many things and was designed to make our lives better, but at what cost? Losing the ability to have real conversations and connections with each other. That's not very desirable, in my opinion. Moderation is the key. If you're going to be spending the majority of your time on your phone, in your comfort zone, rather than going out and meeting people, then that's going to affect the way you engage with people when you grow up and you start working for someone.
So basically, it's not all black and white. There's some gray area that you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely.
Which equals, like, the moderation of technology and, like, not always spending time on your phone, but as well as going outside and talking to more people and getting to know more people.
Definitely. Like, as you mentioned, Bhuvan, that there are a lot of content creators these days who are going out, doing what they love, what they're good at, making YouTube videos, content. And that's putting technology to good use. But at the same time, we got to make sure that we're not overly reliant and dependent on technology to the point where we lose that essence of building a human connection with someone, because after all, we are social creatures. And we see that in a situation like this in the pandemic, where it's really affecting the way we engage with one another. We have each other in this world.
Yeah. Well, like, while researching for this podcast, I came across a TED video where Gen Z students talking about how people aged over 40 would judge Gen Z being on their devices all the time. And I was quite surprised by the fact that there are more than 25% of people, like, from Gen Z who want to start their own businesses, and they're constantly grinding and hustling on Instagram,
yeah,
Facebook, like, new platforms, and trying to build something out of themselves when the previous generations never had this opportunity.
Yeah.
Which I feel like the previous generations do not get, because they can't see what the future is.
Yeah.
And I feel like Gary Vaynerchuk, who's an opportunist.
Yeah.
So he's been constantly talking about the fact that this is the future and Gen Z is changing the future because everyone wants a business and everyone is competing, which is a good sign.
Totally, totally. Now, Gary Vee is one of the most inspiring people I've come across. But again, like, you can't make everyone happy now, can you? The hypocrisy of today's society lies within this idea that no matter what you do, you'll never be good enough. We live in a world where competition exists in pretty much every industry out there. You know what? Some would say that's a good thing, that that competition is the driving factor for success. But you know what else it does? It causes obsession, it causes greed and discontent. And that sort of leads into our next topic of the day, gratitude. So, you were talking to me earlier about something that you had to say about gratitude, and you mentioned about Theodore Roosevelt in your speech. Do you want to share some information on that?
No, Theodore Roosevelt basically said that competition is the thief of joy. That still brings back to the same idea, that too much of anything can be bad. But he probably meant it in such a way that competition amongst people is, like, too much competition is bad, but competition with oneself is a good thing because you're constantly growing. And comparing yourself with the previous you, the day before, like how you were and like how you are now. Don't compare yourself with someone who is somewhere today because he did something long time ago and he's been doing it for a long time. So moving on to gratitude, there was a story that you always wanted to tell me and you waited for this podcast to tell me, so like let's hear it now.
Yes, that story. So oh my god, where do I start? Right, so what happened was a few years ago I went on a short trip to Mumbai along with my family. This was my first time visiting the city. I was really excited to see the different culture, the food, the people. Needless to say, Mumbai did not disappoint at all. from the busyness of having street food in the famous cow gullies and traveling in the Mumbai local trains to beat the traffic, to visiting the serene and just atmospheric Haji Ali Dargah Mosque, resting on an aisle, and at the end, saving some time for just me and my thoughts by Marine Drive at night. Like, I could go on and on about Mumbai, but I'll leave that for another time. One thing that truly struck a chord in my seemingly privileged and joyous trip was when I walked through a train station and saw an old beggar. Now, I'm from Kolkata, and seeing a beggar wasn't uncommon in India. In fact, it was quite the contrary.
I mean, both places have a very high population density, so... Yeah.
It's really common to see a beggar on the street. But for some reason I noticed something this time that I hadn't noticed previously. This beggar that I had seen, she was aged, visually impaired, and was on crutches looking after two young children. You know the best part? She was smiling. I remember seeing her. She was feeding her children some food. And amidst the crowd of the station, I could see the delight on her face with each bite that her kids took. It was one of the most moving moments of my life. So I returned home and I took some time out for self-reflection, thinking about how I look at this life. You know, but when we often get so fixated on things that don't matter. We complain about things beyond our individual control, like the weather or the patriarchy. We compare ourselves with others, thinking about how we're not as good looking or popular or as fit and healthy.
Yeah, especially now with all the platforms, we compare ourselves to others 24/7.
It is everywhere. And we're all guilty of this. It's not just me or you or anyone else. We've all done this. Like, I used to be overweight. People who are close to me know. I remember countless times where I would think about how bad my life was simply because I was overly conscious about my appearance. But since that incident on the train station, I've started this habit. It's sort of like a ritual that I do every night. I call it a prayer of gratitude. It's basically me thanking God for the 5 to 6 most important things in my life. In no particular order, of course. And no, you don't have to be religious to do this per se. It's more about the intrinsic feelings you can channel as you say them. So follow through as I go through them and share some of your stories as well.
Well, compared to your story, mine's a bit different. But before we move on to my story, I just wanted to ask you, even though you, like, your story is about seeing someone's life and thinking about your own, do you think this pandemic has also done that? In terms of, like, now we can't do the normal things that we could do, like the things that we thought was normal, and like just going to the grocery store. But now, even if you go to the grocery store at some places, you won't find the things that were usually there, and people were fighting for it. And do you think the immediate environment of people changes the way they behave?
100%. Like, we had started taking the normal life for granted. We didn't consciously think about, going to the grocery store or getting our food supplies or meeting someone because it was the norm. And we thought that, oh, this is just the way it's going. There's nothing possibly bad that can happen. But here we are. And we're going through a situation where, you know, it's this virus that's forcing us to stay at home for the betterment of society as a whole. And now we're facing these dilemmas about what to do, how to be productive, how to stay safe and healthy. And many of us are missing that normal life that so many of us took for granted. University students, I've seen a lot of my friends are, and me as well, like I miss going to class. I miss being part of an environment where I'm meeting people and sharing ideas. I miss meeting my friends for like a beer or just like a coffee. I miss working out in the gym. There's so many things that we do in our normal life that feel normal because we have sort of habituated.
Yeah, we took that for granted. We
take that for granted.
And then now we're thankful for all those things.
Exactly, exactly. It's like the famous saying that you don't really value something
unless it's gone.
Unless it's gone, yeah. Until you lose it.
So basically my story is from the army. When I went for my first ever field camp, and I was still not settled in, even though it was 1 month into the training, the basic military training. And we had to dig a shell scrape and sleep in it for the next 6 days. It was just like the same height as mine, like the length of the shell scrape. And then there was one part which was really deep where we had to keep our field packs so that no, like, the enemy can't see us. And it was such a drastic change from the life that I used to live. Because we would wear the same clothes every day. That was a uniform, boots every day. And then in the field camp, there were no devices. It was just my section, my platoon, my Damn. Company, my commanders. And we would just basically hustle the entire day till we had to go to sleep around 10.
Yeah.
And it was hard to survive till 10 p.m. as well, because you wake up and there were biscuits, which were our breakfast, some water. And then we had to like take care of our canteens as well, because you only have limited amount of water, like,
right.
Every time you're in the training, because you don't have jerry cans to fill up every time, which was just crazy. Like sleeping inside a jungle, really far away from our camp itself, we were missing our bunk beds, let alone my bed at home. So that's my gratitude story. I basically was thankful for everything I've ever had in my life, and I've been grateful for it since then.
Yeah. Like, the army made you live through that time that was one of the worst times of your life.
I wouldn't call it the worst time. I learned so much,
right.
Even though I was fighting with myself in my mind, like, what have I done? Like, where am I right now? What am I doing? And how will I get through this?
Yeah.
And it was a very moving experience,
yeah.
And since then I've kind of enjoyed the training, the physical, like beating, like not beating, but like the amount of hard work we did to reach our route march.
The hardship,
yeah.
Yeah.
The physical hardship and overcoming it, and then the dopamine that you get from that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you 100%. You know, I've always admired the army lifestyle. It prepares you for every possible outcome. As ex-Navy SEAL Jocko Willing says, discipline is freedom. So, moving on to my gratitude story, as I mentioned earlier about that little gratitude prayer, it sort of started when I when I began thinking about the 5 to 6 things in my life that helped me live the way that I live, and really taking a moment to take out the intricate aspects of each. So I'm going to go over them one by one. So follow through. Number one, life. I acknowledge and I am incredibly grateful for this privileged life of mine, that I was born into a good household, grew up surrounded by good people, that I'm being able to receive education, etc. That I'm alive, that I was brought into this world, and that I am able to experience everything that this world has to offer. Nature, technology, people, each and everything. Yeah, that's number one. And the rest of the things sort of play into them, so I'll go over them. Number two, body. As a fitness enthusiast, I do have goals, which involve staying fit, keeping my body fat low, and looking good. But when I say body, in this context, I'm talking about the roots. Like, I'm grateful for the fact that I have a fully functional body, that all my limbs are intact, that I have complete control over my 5 senses that allow me to see and hear and smell whatever this world has to offer. I'm grateful that I'm not mentally challenged and free of disease. These are some of these intricate details of our bodies which often go unnoticed since we're so fixated on those outside layers we're thinking about. Number three, food. So for those who know me personally, they'd agree to the fact that I absolutely love food. I love trying new cuisines.
Fanatic of food, yeah.
Food fanatic. Self-proclaimed. I love trying new cuisines, experimenting with dishes and exploring the meat. Oh, so much meat. Like, just exploring the culinary heritage of different cities. You talk to me about food and I can go on and on. So with that, I'm grateful for being able to sustain my life without difficulty. Like, I'm grateful for having food on my table, food of my choice, the fact that I get to try new foods at will. I often think about this one when I'm in a situation where the food I'm eating isn't exactly the food that I want or the food that I like. Food waste is a real problem that our planet's facing. And just acknowledging my position and the food that I've been blessed with sometimes can help me prevent food waste. Or maybe I should say at least reduce or minimize the food that I'm wasting. Number four, money. And this is a big one, and I feel this is most of what privilege means. The fact that I have access to money because of my family's hard work means that I get to avail education, invest in myself and what makes me happy. With this, I was able to avoid some of those thoughts that arise when I saw someone who has more or less money than I did.
Yes, I mean, you can compare the previous generation to it. Like, they had to work really hard to bring us where we are right now. And
exactly.
We're very grateful for all of the hard work that they
exactly.
did. But it's not like we should exploit that.
Yeah, definitely not. Like, it's sort of something that I'm covering the following points. Goes about family, about how I'm grateful for everything they've done. And money is a big thing because it helps you, again, invest in a lot of things about yourself and for your own personal betterment. Yeah. Number five, friends. Friends. So with this pandemic, we're seeing something that isn't often covered a lot over social media because of because you don't see it too often, because people don't really talk about it, that loneliness can be a mental health killer. Many psychologists argue that loneliness and depression are linked in a cycle of sorts, that you might be surrounded by people but still might feel lonely, which further leads to isolation. And the same isolation might lead to thoughts of being misunderstood or being rejected from society, resulting in depression. So it is a...
Yeah, apparently it's equivalent to having 15 cigarettes a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the same effect. Like, it has the same effect
on
your body.
It's insane. So, yeah, friends. Like, I'm grateful for having a friend circle that is real. Or at least I think they're real. Having genuine connections with people who share your ideals and values is a privilege that not everyone has. Having someone to share your thoughts with your problems, your joy, your everything. Very important. Number six, family. I gotta say, this podcast is making me a little emotional now. Like, I haven't shared these with anyone, to be honest, let alone be on record on a podcast.
Well, gratitude makes everyone emotional at some point.
Does totally. So, family, yeah. My family has always been supportive of my actions. They've raised me in a manner that that's ensured I don't feel entitled. They've provided me with the resources I need to do what I want, and given me guidance when I needed advice. Most importantly, I would say they've given me freedom, independency. And with this comes a responsibility in my shoulders, which is what I was talking about earlier when I was talking about money, that them doing the hard work and giving me the resources that I need to succeed in life has given me this responsibility to do right by them. Not only am I grateful for having a family like mine, but I'm also thankful for everything they've done for me so far. It puts me in the spot where I wouldn't want to let them down, and I want to make sure that I put the resources they've given me to good use so that I can return them in the future.
Yeah, that's the thing we actually don't see in the upcoming generation. Yeah, but we can't generalize it. Like, there's obviously some people who do realize it, but you don't actually see it out there.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to have.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Like, our parents are not going to say anything because they don't want us to feel like we owe them something. But personally, when I think about it, I would say that like, everything I have is to a certain degree, it's credited to them and everything they've provided. So it makes a difference into how it shapes me as an individual, which indirectly plays into every other aspect of my life. So yeah, it is definitely important. So yeah, that pretty much sums up my gratitude prayer. It's just a little something that I do every night before I sleep. What I would suggest our listeners to do is to take a moment and think about the intricate aspects of your life. What are the things that help you live the way that you do? And then just offer your gratitude to a higher power. It doesn't have to be God or whoever it may be. Just being content is something that I've come to terms with over the past few years. And it has helped me just appreciate and focus on everything I have rather than everything I don't.
I mean, that's the thing you need to focus on right now as well. Like, especially in this situation.
Yeah. It's gratitude can be of paramount importance because, as we mentioned earlier, we started taking things for granted. And now we're grateful that we're, like, whichever one of us, God forbid, is not being affected from the situation, I think, should be grateful that we have the resources that we have, because if this pandemic were to happen, say, 20, 30 years ago, then people who didn't have access to the internet or weren't able to speak to their loved ones over the phone or as easily as we can, picturing that shifts this narrative to a whole different level.
I maintain like a diary to keep this gratitude journal kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I just talk about it in the diary itself. Yeah. So that helps me just let my thoughts out on paper.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to move on to the next topic?
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk about the pandemic and how to survive it.
Yes, that was what we have.
So we will be talking about different categories because everyone's suffering in a different way. People who are working from home, they're like, they have a schedule from their offices and from their superiors. So they're probably working from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we can only suggest that get some physical activity in almost every day so that it acts as like an antidepressant and keeps your mood like going and you don't feel too sad or too isolated. Definitely. Keep talking to people. I mean, if you're having Zoom meetings and stuff, you're still connected to your colleagues and your superiors, so that's good. Keep yourself busy. but also take time out to like rest, drink well, eat well.
For sure, for sure.
What would you suggest to people who are studying from home?
So again, like you covered a lot of the points that I was going to talk about, that we have a few different ways of approaching it. Some sort of physical exercise, like a walk or some yoga, anything. Like I have been studying from home, and I'm sure almost all the students around the world have been studying from home. And similar to the people who are working from home, you are spending hours and hours, maybe sitting on your desk, working on whatever it is that you're working. Going out for a walk or doing some sort of an exercise in your room, whatever you're into, if it's yoga or if it's dance or if it's
yeah, I mean, something. If you're in a lockdown or anything, you can't go out for walks and or running.
Yeah.
Mainly because obviously the doctors are doing their best, right, and we shouldn't make their lives worse by going out and like...
Right. If you're in a place where the rules prevent you from going out for a walk, then you can do something in your room. Like I've been lucky that... I've been lucky in the way that Australia has been handling the situation that I still am able to go for a walk, but while maintaining the social distancing rules, yeah, of course. But yeah, like some sort of physical exercise is really important because sitting on a chair for hours on end has been proven to have severe consequences on the general posture of your body.
I mean, working from home will... make a lot of people lazy anyway, yeah, because you don't have to go to places, you don't have to dress up and show up somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's better to like take walks or take breaks from your work, put your screen on, what's the filter for blue light?
Just like a night shift, yeah, or a night shift nightlife filter.
So that you get good sleep at night as well, because you'll be seeing your device like the entire day, yeah, as well. What else?
Yeah, no, the exposure to blue light is a big thing. Again, they say that smartphones, heavy exposure to blue light in smartphones can limit the body's ability to sleep and can affect your inner body clock, the circadian rhythm. So that's a big thing. The second thing I would say is nutrition, is to eat whole foods, whole healthy foods, and to limit sugar and processed food consumption as much as you can. I understand that some people might be in this situation where they might be unable to control the food that they're eating due to problems with...
any kind of problems,
legislative problems with the grocery store. But if you're in a situation where you have no choice but to eat something that's processed or something that's fast and easy, then again, add some physical activity to your day to make sure that you're staying healthy. And third thing I would say is, popped up in my head, is mental health. Because, we can talk about the usual things to like stay engaged or hit up an old friend, family member, or learn skills like a language on Duolingo, for example. But I would say this is the best time to learn something new, because if you actually think about it, you have all the time in the world. Even if you might be working, but out of 24 hours, you're saving out a lot of time on traveling and commute. So just spending out half an hour to 45 minutes learning a new skill can really keep you engaged, make things a little fun rather than the general monotony of the day.
The overall motivation of people around you like will be quite less compared to like a normal life.
Yeah, exactly.
So the best way to stay yourself engaged is to have a goal and work on it. Like to learn a new skill that you might have something that you really, really wanted to do and didn't have the time for it. And now is the best time to go out there, learn something and come out of it.
Yeah, like use the internet for something other than social media, because there's so much out there.
It's not just the internet. You can try doing yoga. You can learn like some new yoga poses, handstands, planche. Do something like, because your body is your own gym right now. Yeah. And you can just make the best of it.
Right. So yeah, I mean, like this pandemic is a test for humanity. If you think about it, like we as humans, we've been through a lot. The Black Death, plague, the Great Depression, World Wars 1 and 2. There's a reason why humans have prevailed centuries on end, in the survival of the fittest, in the natural selection of nature. And I've sort of learned to treat this pandemic as an opportunity. Yes, it was difficult for me during the first few weeks. Yes, I was scared. And to be honest, I still am. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what
this means. We can't constantly think about what's going to happen in the future. You can just take care of your goals and keep on it. And then slowly the time will pass and we're going to get through this.
Yeah, yeah. Just shifting my attention from what I can do due to the restrictions to what I can do helps make good use of my time and just get my mind off this whole pandemic, because we're constantly exposed to like the news and like social media, which puts out this is happening in this country, the cases have gone up to this.
Well, I would suggest to not see the news every day. It's only when you have to like maybe go outside and see if it's like they've changed the rules or something.
Definitely. Yeah.
But don't check the news all the time because they don't want any positive. They don't show anything positive.
It can have a negative impact on how you look at this. Right. So I think we can wrap up our first episode here. I really hope you guys found some of our ideas useful. You can access our blog and the key points that we've covered in this podcast on our website, www.themodernz.com.
We will also have some links in the show notes for the website, for the blog, and for the link to send us any ideas or any inquiries or...
Your stories. Like if you'd like to be featured on the Modern Z podcast, then head to the contact page or send us your idea or your story. We'll get in touch with you.
Yeah, you can link us like on Anchor or something if you want.
Yeah, whatever works. Feel free to leave a comment about your thoughts or any suggestions for future videos. Yeah, that's about it. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode. Peace.